Well, greetings, church. Greetings, Saddleback Covenant. It is a blessing and an honor to be with you again. It is, as crazy as this time is, this is always a good time for us to come together and lay aside everything and just and worship. And I want to ask you something. Do you guys feel free this morning? Do you feel free this evening, today, wherever you are? Do you feel free? Because we're going to sing about freedom. And guess what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So let's join our hearts, let's join our worship, our voices, our instruments, whatever we're doing in the living room, wherever you're seeing this and worshiping, let's join hearts together as we sing, and may the Lord move in all of us. Father, we invite your presence, Lord, as we worship you. We ask for the anointing on this time. May it be a sweet savor in your nostril, Lord. May it please you. May it edify you. May you be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
The Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is peace. There is love. There is joy. It is for freedom you set us free.
Yes, Lord.
It is for freedom you set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is peace, there is love, there is joy. It is for freedom you've set us free. It is for freedom you've set us free. And sound free.
Freedom, walk in your liberty.
We and we will walk in your freedom, walk in your liberty. And we will dance in your freedom, dance in your liberty. And we will dance in your freedom, dance in your liberty.
You are good. Oh, 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 oh.
constant, never changing.
Well, it's great to see everyone again. By now, those of you that have been watching, I guess you're getting used to this format. This Sunday is going to be a rich day. We are taking a special moment to service, really, to honor our 9 high school graduates. This is a milestone for them. A milestone comes from the Roman days where they would measure off the Appian Way by the miles, and you could find your way, and you said, I've come this far. And high school graduation is definitely one of the main bridges into adulthood and maturity, and we're so grateful for these 9 graduates that we have. I wanted to read from Psalm 37, 23 through 26. This is David writing. King David, and he says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong. Because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. That would be my testimony. I've been young, and now I'm old, or at least older. Can I get an amen out there?
Amen.
Hey, I got an audience today. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. He's gracious and lends, and our descendants are a blessing. That is the heritage for you 9, if you walk in his ways. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. The reason you are being exhorted to remember is because you can forget. Your parents have done everything they can do for you. They've raised you. They've disciplined you. They put you, some of you went to public school, some went to private school. They did the very best. And they hung their hat on the scripture, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he'll not depart from it. So this is a new beginning for you. Some of you will be going off to college. Some of you will be here locally going to college. But all of us know that the Lord is in this for you. So for Austin, Aiden, Grace, John, or better known as Jack, Josh, Michaela, Kyle, Samuel, and Savannah, our hearts and prayers go out to you. And I want to segue now. We're going to have a video of the 9 graduates, followed by David and Courtney Davenport, who will be saying a few words. They have been their youth leaders since they were in 7th grade. And this class in particular is a special place in their life as well. So we really look forward to that. God bless you.
My name is Aiden King. I graduated from Urbana High School 2020. I'm going to Cuesta College to study computer engineering.
I'm Gracie Williams. I'm graduating from Tesoro High School, and next year I'm going to be going to Advanced Beauty College so I can be a cosmetologist.
Hey, I'm Jack Norton. I graduated from Korean Lutheran High School in Irvine, and I am going to Baylor University in Waco, Texas, and I plan on studying political science.
Hi, I'm Josh Diaz. I'm graduating from Korean Lutheran High School, and I will be attending Grand Canyon University and studying business marketing and a minor in communications.
Hi, my name is Kyle Duffield. I'm graduating from San Juan Hills High School, and I will be going to Saddleback Community College, and I'm interested in studying history and business.
Hi, my name is Michaela Kuruming, and I have graduated from Capistrano Valley Christian Schools. In the fall, I will be attending California Baptist University and will be majoring in elementary education.
Hello, I'm Sam. I'm graduating from Korean Lutheran High School and will be either attending Saddleback Community College or Harvard for my doctorate degree. Both are very similar. It's a tough choice, but I'm leaning towards Saddleback, so we'll see where the road takes me.
All right, well, thank you for that introduction, and welcome. Thank you, Ethan, as well, for putting the slideshow together and all things tech-related. I was able to see it firsthand. He is running around and doing an amazing job. So thank you, Ethan.
Yes.
And it is officially our Youth Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we are here to celebrate Youth Sunday, celebrate the seniors. Congratulations, seniors. You did it. Mm-hmm. And you finished the year 2020 in what was just a crazy, weird end of the year, but you did it. It's been an honor to see you grow, and we have nothing but high hopes for what the future holds for you in the Lord.
And it's really been an honor to walk with you guys and to watch you mature before our eyes personally and also spiritually. And I mean, literally last year, this time last year, many of us were in Costa Rica, and God did really big things there. And so this new venture for you guys leaving high school is a big deal, and we're really proud of you. So.
I gotta say, it feels good to get out of the house.
Yes.
And be back in church. Yeah. But I will say one thing, I think we're all coming out of this quarantine is like, we're all gonna have a real sense of
like a slower pace. I feel like a schedule that's not as full as we've been used to.
Yeah, that's not what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. But I think more so along the lines of just...
Oh, quality time with our family. How much quality time we've gotten as a family, for sure.
No, it's been amazing. Don't get me wrong. Family time, slowing down. But that's not what I was thinking. Actually, everyone's going to come out of this a lot more with...
Oh, church on Sunday in our pajamas with a cup of coffee in hand. For sure.
That's been amazing too. But I actually was going to say, I think everyone's going to come out of this a lot more socially awkward. Oh. I don't know if you've had any experiences with this. You may have said this or have this said to you. Are you hugging yet? That's something I've had said to me. Mm. I've asked it. Or you might lead with a long fist bump across the room. Hey-oh! And then they go in for a hug. And then you're standing at an awkward distance. And it's just awkward. And I know it's not just me, because I've experienced it with some of you. Well, as we know, COVID-19, or as my daughter Reese calls it, that corona life, it has created a lot of obstacles for not just our high schoolers, but for everyone. I believe we have a word today for you senior graduates and also for everyone else. Recently, we've been talking to our high schoolers about this idea that obstacles are opportunities. And this isn't a new concept. For example, exercising is an obstacle, right? It's hard. But the opportunity it creates is that you get fit and you get healthy. Taxes, an obstacle. But you don't have to pay taxes. You get to pay taxes because you live in a great country. Mm-hmm. Recently, just a quick story. Recently, over Memorial Day weekend, I decided to take the family on a Memorial Day hike. And I've heard there's this cool flagpole up above Robinson Ranch. And so we did it. We drove up. We're at the trailhead. And disclosure, I didn't do a lot of research on this. And the only research I did was, where is it and what's the distance? So 3.5 miles. Okay, that's doable for a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old and a 7-month-old that would be on Courtney's back. Yeah. So we get there. We start the trailhead and it's beautiful. And we go around one turn. We're like, this is great. And then we make another turn and it's like just an incline. Straight incline, and we start going. And not only is it steep, it's slippery. And so we're slipping around. The kids are falling. So I have to put Connor on my shoulders. Courtney's helping Reese kind of sidestep up. We get up to the top of this first climb, and then it levels out. We're like, okay, we're good. Mm-hmm. And then we turn another corner. It's another incline. Long story short, it's incline after incline after incline, and it is slippery.
Yes.
And Courtney's looking at me like, I think we should turn around now. Are you sure this is a good idea? And I made some comment like, no, us Davenports finish what we start. And so we're going. Meanwhile, I'm doing like lunges with Connor up these hills, and Courtney's got the baby on her back. We come to this one part that was really cool. It was a pond, and it looked like the water was moving because there's frogs everywhere. And Reese and Connor were just in heaven, and they're playing and catching frogs and letting them jump in the water. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. We pressed on past that. We saw a rattlesnake. And finally, we make that like last summit to the top of the flag. And it was an accomplishment for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Reese did all by herself. Connor did the last 10 yards by himself, which was great. There were some like college kids up there when we got there, and they were like passed out. So when they saw Connor walk up the last, the guy was like, no, no. And then he saw Courtney had a baby on his shoulder, on her back. And was like, oh my gosh, you have a baby. Anyways, we're there. That's a big obstacle to get to the top. Mm-hmm. And then the problem wasn't just that. The other obstacle was that we had to get down. Mm-hmm. And Courtney was more nervous, I think, about going down. Mm-hmm. So I had the genius idea of, all right, kids, you're going to sit down on your feet, like just squat, and you're going to slide down these steep hills. So they did, but it wasn't pretty at times. And then they just ended up sitting on their butts and sliding down. Yes. And anyways, at the very end, I thought, oh, here's a little shortcut. This seems less steep. That was a bad idea as well. But it was fun. We finally get down to the car, and it was such an accomplishment, such a great day. And actually, one of the highlights of this stay-at-home time for our family, our kids still talk about the frogs and the rattlesnake and just being at so high and seeing a 360 view of where we live. So if we would have let that obstacle stop us, we would have missed out on a really great moment for our family. So There are a lot of Bible stories that talk about this idea of obstacles leading to opportunities. There's, for example, there's not a King David without Goliath, and there's not a Goliath without killing a lion and a bear. Mm-hmm. There's no Moses without being put in a basket, floated down river, speech impediment, Pharaoh, wilderness, 40 years of waiting, purpose fulfilled. There's Paul's prison time. He starts his ministry. There's no Easter Sunday without Friday. Mm-hmm. Obstacles and opportunities. We could go on and on. But today we want to focus on one story specifically. It's the story of Joshua on his journey to Jericho. A little backstory on Joshua. He traveled with Moses through the wilderness. He ate manna. He was one of the 12 spies that Moses asked to go spy out the land. He was with Moses on the mountain when he received the Ten Commandments and then when he smashed them. So he's seen some things. And then when Moses passes away, God asks Joshua to lead his people. So Courtney's going to set the table for us on Joshua. And just a quick disclaimer, we've never shared before together, and we've definitely never done it in front of a camera. Mm-hmm. So if you love it, thank you. If you don't, you can blame Ethan or somebody.
Yes. Okay. So where we are going to start is in Joshua 1:9. And the story of Joshua is a pretty radical story of obstacles and then becoming opportunities. And so we're essentially going to tell you the story and really hope to get across, like, this is the story God's writing for each of us. And so Joshua 1:9, many of you know, it starts with God telling Joshua to be strong and very courageous. But many of you have this as their life verse. So it's a well-known verse, but like right before this, as we were studying, we were really kind of taken by right before this chunk of verses, God is speaking to Joshua and he tells him that he's going to lead the Israelites out to the promised land and that anywhere he sets his foot, it will be given to him. So that's a pretty radical promise from God. He is telling Joshua this is what's going to happen. And I guess the question is, what's the need for the next verses? Like, God said it, and so it's done. So Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So why would God tell him to not be afraid and to be very courageous after he already promised him that he's going to lead the Israelites and he's going to, anywhere he sets his foot, that's going to be given to him? Why the need for these verses? And mind you, God says it multiple times to Joshua throughout the story to be strong and to be courageous. Mm-hmm. And I think as we were studying, this speaks to one, that Joshua's a human just like you and I. And I get lost in these stories, reading it, because we read the beginning to the end, and so we know what happens. And so it can seem easy, like God said this, and so Joshua did this. But Joshua's human, and so he needed to hear this from God. And I think it also speaks to the process, that God wasn't just plucking Joshua and giving him the promised land. There was going to be a process. There was going to be obstacles to come, and Joshua was going to have to face these things. So when God's talking to Joshua, he's telling him these things because he knows he's going to be in situations that are scary, that are really uncertain, that are discouraging. And there's going to be times when Joshua has to hold on to these words that God's telling him to be strong and courageous in order to have the confidence to move forward. And I believe, honestly, I believe that's a word from the Lord for all of us during this time. Be strong and very courageous. Do not be afraid. That goes for, I mean, we're all facing this together in our nation, in our world, but that's also specifically to you. That whatever it is that you are facing, God is telling you to be strong and courageous because he is with you. And that's a promise from him. So that's the initial direction that Joshua gets from God to set the foundation for where he's going. So then in Joshua 2, Joshua sends out spies to spy out the land, especially Jericho. And the king of Jericho gets word of this, and he sends servants out to kill them. They find a prostitute named Rahab, and she hides them on her roof. And so this next part, So we're at Joshua 2:8. This is what she says to them. And it's very, I mean, it's, listen to it. She says, "Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below.'" So this is the power of their Exodus story going before them. This is the work of God and God alone. This is not something the spies could have done. This is not something Joshua did. This is the power of God. When we are in his will and following what he has told us and placed in our way, and we're listening to his direction, this is that power. And when we're operating in faith and obedience, like Joshua was, the power of our testimony, it actually goes before us. And not only that, it scares the enemy. That is the power. Like, never underestimate the power of your story and the writer of your story. It goes before us. And we can walk. This gives us the confidence to walk boldly into situations, into those obstacles that we're facing, whatever that is. And so the obstacles that Joshua had overcome created an opportunity for the fear of the Lord to flood these people. I mean, she says, "When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below." Like, they melted in fear because of the story going before them. And I would imagine that this just continues to build Joshua's confidence and courage about what God had promised him back in Joshua 1. Mm-hmm. So then you get to Joshua 3, where they cross the Jordan. So imagine the Israelites are all standing at the Jordan, and it says in Joshua 3 that it's in flood stage, because at this time of the year, it's flooding. It is raging. Mm. And so he has the people, and he is told they're going to cross this Jordan River raging, and it's going to be dry. As an Israelite, I can imagine being very unsure how that's going to happen and questioning and probably scared. And all of a sudden, the priest gets close and puts his foot down on the water, and the water actually pools up on the side. And they watch this happen. And the entire Israelites cross on dry land. And as soon as they're all across safely, it goes back to raging. That's a miracle. And it's, again, easy to read these stories and just kind of like, that's what God did. But that's to actually have experienced that. That is huge. And so then in Joshua 4, however, Joshua says to take stones from the Jordan as a reminder of what God has done for you in crossing the Jordan. And this is a reminder of how easy it is for us to forget what God has done in our lives. He's telling them to take a stone, and you are going to tell generations to come of what God did here, because this is a marker. And there have been so many times in my life that these stones are like my lifeline. I have to grasp hold of them. Just recently, we've been really facing a lot of family situations and a lot of unknowns and a lot of things that are completely out of our control. And the enemy's really tried to rattle me at times and almost forget the things, where God's led me and where I am today. And honestly, I've had to say no. And looking back, no, you were with me when I lost everything in high school and college. I didn't even know how that was going to happen. And then I ended up in college, and that's where I met this guy. but he was there with me. He was there when I lost my mom, and I had so many questions and it didn't make any sense, but he was with me in that. He was with me when we took a risk. We had our first daughter, and I was working a full-time job, and finances, we didn't know what was going to happen with that. And we took a risk, and I stayed home, and God is with me. He's been with me in every single decision we've made. And those are things I have to hold tightly to. And so my question to you is, do you have a stone Can you look back on your life and identify when God parted the Jordan on your behalf? Because I promise he has, but we have to remember those things in order to have the confidence to keep moving forward. And it increases our faith. It's so important. Those memories should encourage us to be strong and courageous. Mm-hmm. God has been faithful in every obstacle you are facing. I promise you, he has been in it. Nothing is wasted. And it's in the hard stuff that we grow the most. And so I encourage you to think about those stones and let them give you the confidence that Joshua had to face these obstacles and see them as opportunities moving forward.
That's good. So we have Joshua now. He's entered the land just before Jericho. So we're in chapter 6, starting verse 1. It says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in." This is an interesting fact about Jericho. I didn't know this before studying this, but it is historically noted that the stone walls of Jericho represent the first technology that can be ascribed unequivocally to purely military purposes. These stone walls, at least 14 feet in height and backed by a watchtower some 28 feet tall, were clearly intended to protect the settlement and its water supply from human intruders. This is an important note because Jericho was built specifically to keep people out, to stop invasions. So this structure that Joshua finds himself in front of now is something that was built to keep people out of. So just picture that. Picture you're Joshua. You're standing at the gates of Jericho and the walls are too high to climb. They're too thick to penetrate. So what do you do? What do you do? You got the Israelites standing behind him, looking for him to lead. There's a massive obstacle in front of him, in front of his journey to the promised land that he's kind of carrying that torch across the goal line, or the football across the goal line that Moses started. Another note, he didn't create this obstacle. It just was there in front of him. And he has to respond to it. So what does he do? God speaks to him. There's a constant theme with Joshua and with David as well. There's this, you see this where they hear from the Lord to go, and then there's an obstacle followed by a waiting period. And then he asks God for direction as well. This is a really good model for us. Where are we going and what do we do when we get there? There's a song that we are really into right now. It's, I forget who the artist is, but there's a chorus in there that says, "I don't want to go unless you go before me." And you'll actually hear this song at the video at the end of this, but we don't want to go unless he's leading and we need to stop and ask for direction. So he stands at the gate and God speaks. Here's what he says to Joshua. "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and his fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets and ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing trumpets. When you hear the sound of the loud blast and the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up and go straight in." So I've researched this a little bit, and from what I can tell, this is the first and last time this military strategy had ever been planned to be implemented. Imagine you getting that direction from Joshua. You're one of the Israelites. All right, what's the plan? What are we doing? He says, All right, here's what we're going to do. It's going to sound crazy, but I want you to get all the soldiers, all the armed soldiers, grab the priests, tell them to get their trumpets, and we're going to walk around the city 7 times. But not all in one day. We're going to do it one day at a time. And then we're going to camp and we'll do it the next day. So we'll walk around the city. We'll come back to camp. And then on the 7th day, we're going to blow our horns. We're going to yell really loud. That should do the trick. The faith and confidence that Joshua displayed in that moment to convince his people must have been amazing. But don't forget that they just saw the Jordan River pull up and they crossed it on dry land. They had a faith and a confidence that was strong and was growing. So that's exactly what they do. They start marching around the city. It's about 3 acres. So they do this every day, and then they camp. They do this for 6 days, marching around the walls, a city God has already told Joshua was his. This is kind of an interesting thought to me, because he was told, as Courtney mentioned, that everywhere he stepped foot was given to him. So even though we have victory over obstacles in our life, it's clear to me that God wants us to listen, to move, to act, to fight. The victory is ours in Jesus' name. But we have to respond to his leading in those moments. Mm-hmm. So in verse 20, when the trumpet sounded and the army shouted and the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in and took the city. I'm trying to picture that scene in my head. The sound of the horns, the men yelling, the stones collapsing. Can you picture that? Mm-hmm. Just imagine standing in front of the stone wall and just screaming for this thing. And then all of a sudden the stones start to shake. Oh my gosh. I could picture this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's a great picture for us. We have obstacles in our life, and sometimes we need to just scream in the name of Jesus mm-hmm. over these things and watch these walls start to shake and fall.
So good.
Faith had to grow immensely in the Israelites in that moment. And they just saw the river thing, and now this marching and screaming and horns blowing. My gosh. What's been captivating my thoughts is that obstacles are at times a work of our own issues, right? We have obstacles because I was a jerk to Courtney, and now I have to get it right. Or I did this, and now I, whatever. It's our own doing. And we should get things right. What makes us better, even when it's our fault. But oftentimes, these obstacles just appear in our lives like an anvil falling from the sky, just boom. We're confronted with an obstacle. For example, in the form of a global pandemic. Mm-hmm. We didn't do anything to encourage this. Nevertheless, we're presented with this life-altering challenge. Mm-hmm. Now we have the opportunity to respond. Our responses to any sort of obstacle, good or bad, determines the story that will be written. This time of stay-at-home order could be one where you're getting better each day or you're getting bitter each day. What's amazing is that you, by the grace of God, have free will to make the choice on what that story is going to look like. It's an obstacle in your life, whatever it is. Is that obstacle going to define you for the rest of your life? Is it going to narrate your story? Is it going to hamper you, restrict you from growing? Mm-hmm. I say no. And more importantly, God says no. He's calling us to be strong and courageous. Mm-hmm. Let him be the narrator of your story. I just want to say, he is speaking. Mm-hmm. He is speaking. I know a lot of people say, is that an audible voice? I think it's different for a lot of people, but he is speaking. But are we listening? Mm-hmm. Are we asking? That's like a real simple thing. Are you asking God about stuff, about decisions you're making? Because we will all find ourselves at one point standing at the gates of Jericho. Mm-hmm. At some point, we need clear direction during those times. This often comes from wise counsel and prayer and the word of God. At the end of chapter 5 of Joshua, which we didn't touch on, the commander of God's army appears to Joshua. And Joshua is like, this just kind of shows me who Joshua is. This figure appears. And Joshua says, are you with us or against us? And I wonder what if that figure would have said against you, what Joshua would have done. Mm-hmm. But he says neither. And he gives them direction. It's just Joshua is getting directed. He's asking. Mm-hmm. This is just a quick side note. But when obstacles we see in our life do fall, we should do as Joshua and the Israelites did, run in. Mm-hmm. plant your flag on the ground and declare that this is the land that God has given you. Mm-hmm. And press on towards the upward call that God has for your life. An opportunity is a good position. It's a chance or a prospect for advancement or success. So let me say that again. An opportunity is a good position. It's a chance or a prospect for advancement. So big or small, these problems, these barriers, these impediments, these disadvantages are simply opportunities to get better and have faith for the problem at hand. It is a chance for our advancement. We've been talking a lot about this. We serve a God that is counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. And the literal opposite of obstacle is advantage. Asset. It's an aid. Mm. So God takes your supposed disadvantages and uses them to your advantage. Mm-hmm. Could all the obstacles we're seeing in the world right now, and there's a lot, could God be using that all to create unity, salvation, restore hurting hearts, Open up eyes, or even just to pour out the love of God across the globe? Mm-hmm. I believe he can use something like what we're seeing for that, because he is unconventional. He asked Joshua to walk around a city 7 times and yell at it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense in a practical sense, but God did it. He used a prostitute to save Joshua and his people. He pulled up a Jordan River so that the people could walk across it. Mm-hmm. Unconventional. Rabbi Zacharias, who's an author that I love, and he recently passed away, he once said that it's not so important that you know who you are, but more important that you know whose you are. And Joshua clearly knew whose you were, whose he was, sorry. Recently, with our family, one of the cousins came over, or we were together with families and the cousins were playing. And one of the cousins came up to me, I forget which one it was, maybe Brooks. If you're listening, Brooks, it was you. You were complaining about Connor wasn't sharing, which I knew couldn't be true because he's got great parents and he would never not share. So I tell Brooks, I say, Brooks, go tell Connor that his dad said you need to share or he's all done playing. Guess what happened? Connor listened. So knowing whose you are validates who you are and the authority that goes with that. I'm going to end with a few reminders. So God is calling you to be strong and courageous. Mm-hmm. He is counterintuitive, unconventional. Let him be the narrator of your story. And your supposed disadvantages are actually advantages. Mm-hmm. These obstacles are opportunities, and opportunities are a hope for advancement. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for listening to us today. I hope it was a word for you. It was for us as we prepared together. That was fun. And different. Yes. So typically on Youth Sunday, what we do is we have all the seniors would come up. My dad would give them a Bible and we'd hear where they're going to school and we'd pray over them. We couldn't do that this year. Presented a real obstacle. But we saw this as a
opportunity.
That's right. An opportunity. So what we were able to do, we were able to go to every senior's house and hand out a Bible. Which a cool fact is that Rhonda Reardon signed everyone's name in it. And she's been doing this for 25 plus years. Mm-hmm. We also gave them a book that we picked out for them that was impacted us in college as well. So this was a very special moment for us. And we wouldn't have gotten to do this without this crazy pandemic, this time we're living in. But we were able to go to each house and just have a really cool moment with each of you seniors. And we really love you guys, and we are so excited to see what God has for you in the future. Mm-hmm. So in a minute, we're going to watch a short video that I shot from my iPhone. So sorry, it's not full feature full screen, but we hope you enjoy it. We're going to pray, and then we'll watch that video. Why don't you pray?
Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for this time, Father. This is such a unique moment in history, God, and we feel privileged to get to share what you've been speaking to us in this time, Lord God, and we do pray. I pray that the story of Joshua would be something we could each place ourselves in. These are not stories that we're just reading for enjoyment, Lord. This is a story. You are the narrator of Joshua's story as well as ours individually. And so to be able to place ourselves in these stories and to have it encourage us to be strong and courageous and not be fearful. Lord, we fear you and you alone. I pray that those that are watching, Lord, that you would just encourage their hearts, that they would, whatever it is that they're up against, that they would hear you say, no, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. There is nothing to fear when you are functioning in God's will. Lord, I pray for confidence and boldness as we walk things out right now in this time, Lord. And for our seniors specifically, Lord, I lift them up to you. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for the things that their families have planted in them as a young age. And then the opportunity we've had to be part of their lives, Lord, I just pray that these seeds would be watered, Lord, and we would watch them just explode. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to fill each one of them. Lord, fill the homes that are watching this right now, God. That we would be strong and courageous. That is, I just feel that bubbling up inside of my heart, Lord. And I pray that over every family right now in the name of Jesus and those seniors that are graduating, you be strong and courageous as you step out into the next thing that God has for you. We pray all these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cause I don't wanna go if you're not going before me. I don't wanna go if you're not going before me. I don't wanna go if you're not going before me. I don't wanna go if you're not going before me. Like Moses in the desert, I wanna see the land. Like Moses in the desert, I can't fully see your plan. Still your love doesn't stop when I see the land from a mountaintop. Oh. Like Peter on the hill, I wanna make my place, like Peter on the hill, before your transfigured face. I will go where you go, I will stay where you stay. Oh, yeah. Cause I don't wanna go if you're not going before me.
Some of you have heard this song before. You're sitting there going, where have I heard this before? So this is for you guys, for all of you all, but especially for them graduates. And we want them to be ready. Amen? Amen. So there's a train that is coming, and he wants you to get on board. He wants you to hear, have the ears to hear those diesels humming. He wants you to get on board. There's no ticket. It's just thank the Lord. So that is your task here. This is our thing that we're going to do together here. We're going to sing People Get Ready. So join your hearts with us. Amen. Thank you. People get ready, there's a train that's coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith, hear those diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. Yeah. So people get ready, there's a train in Jordan. It's picking up passengers from coast to coast to coast. And faith is the key, open those doors and board on. There's hope, it's hope for all among those loved the most. Come on, Lord. A sinner who would hurt all mankind just to save his own. Oh, have pity on those whose chances grow thinner, 'cause there's no hiding place from the kingdom's throne. Oh, people get ready, say them people get ready. Say them people get ready, it just might come tonight. 'Cause no man knows the day, no man knows the hour. Oh, people, oh, I can sure feel his power. Come on. Especially your graduates, congratulations. Look forward to seeing you all soon.